And the gospel lesson for Palm Sunday, Mark 11, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, Palm Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays because you get to bring something home. I mean, you bring a palm home. And I remember as a PK, a preacher's kid, tickling my brother like most of the whole service. I'm just doing this and he's like, "Don't do that to someone right now." But I remember distinctly my mother saying, "What are you doing? Stop playing with that. Don't do it." So good memories of Palm Sunday. We have some people that are doing it right now. But these palms, you get to decide, what do they mean to you? When you bring them home, are they just something that you throw away when you get home? Or is it prominently displayed for you to help you remember that day when the crowd said, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And I want you to think about this quote from Bill Hybels from Willow Creek. He said, because not everybody thought the same thing when they were waving their palms in that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But everyone who lined the streets had a different reason for waving those palms. Some were political activists. They heard Jesus had supernatural power, and they wanted him to use it to free Israel from Roman rule. Others had loved ones who were sick or dying. They waved their branches hoping for physical healing. Some were onlookers, merely looking for something to do, while others were genuine followers who wished Jesus would establish himself as an earthly king. Jesus was the only one in the parade who knew why he was going to Jerusalem to die. He had a mission, while everyone else had an agenda. So I want you to really think about what Hosanna means. That means literally from Psalm 118, and it's a beautiful connection between the Psalm 118 and our gospel lesson for Palm Sunday, because they're quoting Psalm 118. I did not know this, but they knew this scripture, and they were saying, "Hosanna," which in Hebrew means "save, we pray." So when you say Hosanna, it means "save, save me, Lord, I pray," or "save us, Lord, we pray." And so I want to share with you, do you ever have dreams that are very vivid? Do you know, we dream every night, right? You cannot sleep without dreaming. You don't always remember. Dreams can fade. It's like, I got to write that down right away. Got to remember what that, because. So I had one maybe 10 days ago that was very vivid, very clear, and actually wrote down really quickly what it was. And it connects to the Hosanna, because in the dream, the Lord saved me. So when you go to a cafeteria, it's almost like the old style cafeteria that you pick up your items and you have a tray and you go along that sort of metal aisle that you're. And so I picked out my. I remember in my dream I took two chocolate milk cartons. I had them on the tray. It was that clear. I knew exactly. And I'm drawing on that. And I personally do not like. Does anybody like waiting in lines? I don't like waiting in lines. So I feel in the dream that I'm impatient, and that there's the cashier. I'm getting closer. And just about when I get to the cashier, a man with his teenage daughter cuts in front of me. Oh, the injustice that I felt, the gall that they wouldn't notice me. And so I have this righteousness rise up in me, in my dream. And I know, passive aggression, say, excuse me, I think I was in front of you, and I don't wait for them to move out. I go by them, and I go in front of them, and I get to the cashier thinking, I was right. I was there before them. I should go ahead of them. It's only right, right? So I get to the cashier, and I remember about to pay for my food, and the man starts crying. The man and the teenage girl starts crying. I don't know exactly why, but I know something was wrong in his life. Something terribly wrong, maybe because of grief. I'm thinking because of grief. Something was happening in his life, and his teenage daughter started crying too. So I immediately shifted from angry at these people to, oh my goodness, something's going on. And God gave me in the dream this great, intense empathy for him and his daughter. Changed everything. And God also was saying, you know, you could have waited the extra 30 seconds and let them go ahead of you, right? Like, what did you gain by being right or self-righteous? I'm saving you now because my word says God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And amazing that the whole thing just shifted when I realized that God gave me the awareness of that they're going through a hard time and they're priority one. And then I woke up and I said, this ties into this morning because, you know, the Lord saved me because there'll be a time when I'm going to be in line. And someone might cut in front of me, and I'm going to have to call on the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, help me be who you want me to be in this situation right now. Help me to remember when Jesus rode in on donkey, humble and kind, into Jerusalem and into our hearts to teach us. You know, he comes in, and it's a triumphal entry. But, you know, in those days in the Roman Empire, when they rode in, went after a victory. And they only had parades when they killed over 5,000 of the enemies. Did you know that? In the Roman Empire, when the general would come back on a war horse into the city, and they would celebrate and have a parade, and they would bring all the treasures and the prisoners. That's a triumphant entry in their minds. Here we have our humble Son of God to teach us. And if you remember the scripture a couple weeks ago, Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I want to know God's ways, and I want to know God's thoughts. Jesus is embodying God's ways and God's thoughts for us today on this Palm Sunday. And I want you to understand how important it is that when we hold our palms, can you say Hosanna? You say it right now, that you're saying, Lord, save me. I need saving. I can't save myself. In that dream, God gave me the message, a revelation, you cannot save yourself. John Taylor's cutting back in front of those people, thinking that I'm right. I needed God to say, you know, you were wrong. So I want you to think about what you need to be saved from. You really have to think of that when you say Hosanna, when you say, Lord, save me, I pray. You have to think, what do you need Jesus to save you from? Amen? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It could be hopelessness. It could be despair. It could be arrogance, pride, greed. It could be a lack of trust. You need to answer that question for yourself today. What does this palm mean when you say, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? You're saying, God, save me. Save me right now, today, on this day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So in Psalm 118, it's beautiful because Jesus would have sung this psalm with the disciples in the upper room. This is one of the five Hallel praise songs. That's what Hallel means. Hallel means praise. And during the Passover meal, those who are participating sing these five songs. I think it's Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. They sing these words. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Can you say that with me? Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Think of Jesus singing that with the disciples in the upper room, knowing that he's going to the cross. that he's calling on the Lord. If we can go to the next slide, image three, I want you to hear these words. This is why I had Jim read this from Psalm 118, because it says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper." Have you ever been hard-pressed? I bet there's somebody here right now that's hard-pressed. That means you're in a tight spot. In fact, I looked up all the synonyms for hard-pressed. Now, you nod your head if you felt this way before. Burdened with urgent business, right? Synonyms: difficulties, under pressure, under stress, troubled, beleaguered, harassed, with one's back to the wall, with one's back up against the wall, in a tight corner, in a tight spot between a rock and a hard place, busy, overburdened, overworked, overloaded, overtaxed, rushed off one's feet, time poor, at the end of one's rope, pushed up against it. That's all the synonyms for hard-pressed. Did you get a little nods in there? Yeah, I can relate to that. I love, you know, if you're at the end of your rope, tie a prayer knot and just hang on. Just hang on. We had a youth program for our senior high, so it was on stress. Our young people are stressed. Where do you go with your stress? If you're not modeling crying out to the Lord or calling upon the Lord, right, when you're hard-pressed, your kids aren't going to do that either. We asked each kid, I said, "What are you stressed about? And how well do you sleep from 1 to 10? 10 being, I sleep really well." Do you know we did not have one kid above 4? Not one. Many said, "You know, I don't remember really sleeping. I got my phone under my covers. I watch YouTube. And then before I know it, it's 3:30 a.m. and I got to wake up at 6. So I just don't go to bed." Don't tell me you don't have struggle sleeping either when you wake up and you think of all the worries and the concerns that you have. And Jesus 2,000 years ago said, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own worries." And look, you know, worry doesn't add 1 hour to your life, but trust that I'm already there in tomorrow, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Can I hear an amen? How important that is, that you let that soak in, that God saves you. You don't save yourself. So think about how you are saved when you say, "What are you saved from?" And I love when we read, "The Lord brought me into a spacious place." Like, you were tight spot, hard pressed, pushed. You're like, "I'm up against them, up against the wall, I'm between the rock and the hard place." But when you cry out to the Lord in your distress and your anguish, Lord frees you from that. Amen. You're brought out sort of like out into a field, like at sunrise service. It's open air. In a spacious place. God's freed you from being trapped, to trust that God has your life in God's hands. And the Lord's already given his son to die for you so that you would have salvation, that you would live forever and ever. And to live in that spacious understanding of how deep and wide is God's love for you, that nothing will separate you from the love of Jesus. Amen? Nothing. Nothing. And Acts 2:21 says, "All those who call upon the Lord will be saved." But you got to call upon the Lord. Now I'm thinking tomorrow about the marathon. Anybody here running the marathon? Raise your hand if you're running the marathon. We have Marilyn. Thank you. All right. I know Marilyn's running a marathon. It's probably not 26.2. But you know, we're all running marathons. You know, faith is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Tomorrow in the Boston Marathon, somebody will be running for the first time. We know that, right? Many will be running for causes, to remember loved ones, for whatever cause that might be. And every single one will reach a point being before Heartbreak Hill when their body is yelling, "Stop, what are you doing? We are dying. You need to stop," and they need to have encouragement to just have the spirit overwhelm the body. And you know how many people keep going because they hear someone, "You can do it, keep going." And they encourage and they cheer on that person who's running. And they carry on one step at a time. You know there'll be someone who will be last in the Boston Marathon? Yes. But they'll finish. And they'll have triumphed because they didn't give up. Don't quit. Never give up the faith. Do you know why it's 26.2 miles? Do you know that in 450 BC, there was a battle. The Greeks beat the Persians in a battle in Marathon, and they ran, the messenger ran 25 miles from Marathon to Athens and collapsed and died after he said, "We won the victory." And it reminds me how beautiful it is that we believe that Jesus won the victory before he died, but he also rises again. The message that God is saying, the victory has been won. I think it's also interesting that the 1.2 miles that was added on was because Queen Alexandra wanted the race to begin at Windsor Castle so her kids could watch from the windows and it end in the Olympic Stadium, and that added 1.2 miles to the race. And they've kept it ever since 1921. Did you know that little bit of information? See, you learned something today. Amen. But I want you to, I'm going to try my best to see if I can record the sermon also at the same time play you something over the, I think I can. We'll see if technology will allow me to do this. Because I was touched this week to believe how important it is to trust that God saves you. There's a woman in our church. Her name is Rachel Dalton Viveros. Her sister Liz died a week ago. Her service was on Monday in Detroit, Michigan. She was very much this strong Christian woman. She was only 41 years old. She died of cancer. And during her battle against cancer, she gave birth to a son named Micah. Micah is 9 months old now. And Liz knew that she was going to die with a little baby. But I want you to hear her voice. It's only a minute 47 seconds. And these are the last words she ever said that were recorded. And so I just want you to hear these words today as she speaks to you to trust that when you say, "Hosanna, save me," that the Lord does save. Hear the power of her voice. Hopefully this will be...
I want to be able to walk up to God whenever it is. If it's 20 years from now, whenever it is. To look Jesus in the eyes and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to hear that. I want to be able to look us in the God in the eyes and hear that, "Good and faithful servant." Like, you are my precious child. Like, I want to hear that with all of my heart. And I have for my whole life. Like, that has always been my wish, that I could hear that and see God's love in his eyes when I walk up to him and just hear that. And just that you are different. I wanted you to be different. I wanted you to stand out. I don't want to be the same. God gave me a vision one time. He just put something in, like, and now that thing, but God put it on my heart that I was different. I'm a different kind of flower. Like, I have this picture of a flower, and it's all got different petals, different color petals. I'm not a flower that has just one petal. It's all purple or whatever. It's different color petals because I want it to be. I don't want to be the same. What good is that? You know, like, sorry, I'm crying, but if I'm the same as everybody, you look the same. And that's always what I wanted when I was in high school. It's funny to hear me saying that now, that I always wanted to fit in. I always wanted to be part of the crowd because I was safe. But it's not worth it. It's so much more. It's more fun, too. Plus, you get what you want in the end, hearing God say, "You did what I wanted. You did what I asked."
Can I hear an amen? I hope you can be inspired by hearing those words and how powerful it is to hear a sister of the faith share that she died with the knowledge that she was going to be with the Lord in heaven, and how beautiful that is to trust in that saving grace, even to the very end as we fight the fight of faith and run the race of faith. So today is a day for you to answer that for yourself. And we're going to have a prayer in just a moment. In fact, if we could pull up, Tom, if we have it on the screen, if everybody can see, hopefully in the back you can see. We have a prayer that we're going to say if we have it up on the screen. If you can read it, And the beginning is, Lord, we won't say it yet, but Lord Jesus, as we worship today. Okay, we have it. Tom has it there. So hopefully we can join together in this prayer. But I wanted to just lift up, before we pray, this is going to be our prayer, closing prayer, and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. How powerful it was that the Pope kissed the feet of the leaders in Sudan that were, they're about to fight in a civil war and have been fighting, and they went on a retreat to Rome, and impromptu, that Pope just went down and bent a knee and kissed all their feet, all the delegation from the Sudan, and tears just streamed down the people's faces, that the leader of the Roman Catholic Church would humble himself to kiss their feet and implore them not to fight each other, but to work on forgiveness and reconciliation. I want to lift up that. And also the country of Rwanda, that it was 25 years ago on April 7th that the genocide began, 100 days of terrible violence, and that their whole, the whole month, every April, that they remember what brought them through, how the Lord saved them, Hosanna, from that terrible, terrible time. And they're a miracle country today because of the truth and reconciliation process. Just wanted to lift that up. And so if you can hold your palm, when you're going to have to look at the screen to pray this prayer together. And we're going to, all your prayers the Lord hears on this beautiful Palm Sunday as we make our way through Holy Week. Hold on to your palm. Let's begin with just bowing our heads, or at least we can't bow our heads. You need to look at the screen. Sorry. So let's pray as we read this prayer together. Lord Jesus, as we worship you today, we wave our palms and welcome you into our hearts. Save us from empty praise. Save us from superficiality. Save us from following the crowd. Save us from being fickle. Save us from arrogance and pride. Save us from fear and hopelessness. Save us from ourselves, our regrets, mistakes, and shame. Hosanna in the highest. Save us now, we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the dreams that come to set us straight, to give us your word today, that it lives and breathes inside of us, that we would listen and follow and repent and believe and trust in how you do save us with your grace and your mercy and your love, that it endures forever. As we pray your prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Let's stand now together. Let's join together in our closing hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. And you can feel free to wave your palm branches as we sing this hymn. Praise God.